Good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but there are often times when I'm preparing for a message or I come to worship and I think to myself, why am I even preaching today? You know? And there's been some words and some things shared today and I'm thinking to myself, I said to Deb, one more person has to share and I'm ripping up this sermon. I don't even need to say anything. It's just been glorious to be able to hear people's sharing. If only you'd shared, Evan, and you could have gone without a sermon.
You keep threatening to do that, but you never do.
That's true. It's hollow promises, hollow promises. I wonder when you or I go through social media or our news feeds or the news comes on the TV, we see things on there and they're just heartbreaking at times, aren't they? How often do we, can you just pass my phone for a minute? You see something tough on social media and you go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh. And we just keep scrolling. Why is it that we keep scrolling? We're trying to find either the good parts. There's other times where we see this tough thing that's happened, whether it be, you know, something in news, and they never usually put in anything warm and fuzzy in social media. It's always click stuff, you know, to get you to click. Why is it? Why is it that we just keep scrolling? Because often we think, what can I do about it? It's happened. Oh well, keep going. Oh well, keep going. Got me thinking the other day, what in the world is wrong with me? That I just, all of a sudden, I've become so immune to the tough things that happen in our world that I go, oh yeah, oh yeah. Or am I the only one that does that? The reality is that I think we struggle sometimes with thinking that, well, yeah, that's someone else's problem. Someone else will fix it. I'll just keep doing my thing. Right? Today we're continuing our series called Overcomer. Today we're looking at overcoming the epidemic of apathy. Leaving it for someone else. Someone else will do it. Sometimes it gets so strong, that feeling within us, we go, oh, who cares? Who even cares anymore? There's a lack of interest, there's a lack of passion, there's a lack of concern, because so often it's all about who? Me. We make it about us. The parable of the Good Samaritan that Yvette read for us this morning is both challenging and encouraging. And there's this overarching tension that rips us in both directions, right? What does the law say? The law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus changes it and says, and love your neighbor. He says, don't dismiss the law. He says, no, embrace that, but go one step further and love your neighbor. Why is that? Because I think it shows so much more depth to the first part, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:6-9. It gives us a depth to that because people can see it tangibly. I think I've shared here before My nana used to have a saying written in her book. You know, when people pass away, you go, it's the only time you get brave enough to go rifling through their things. And so you can get little tidbits and bits and pieces for their funerals and things. And she had a quote written in the back of her Bible that said, if people never read the Bible, if they don't see Jesus in the Bible, then that's not your fault. But if they don't see Jesus in you, that is your fault. And that's stayed with me. She's been gone for over 20 years and still that stays with me. You know, lots of people will never open this book. Lots of people have never even seen a copy in this world of the Holy Scriptures. And yet, there are people who live in your street and in mine who have never opened the Bible. Maybe not even seen one. But in the story of the Good Samaritan this morning, they see a picture of Jesus. That he's prepared to sacrifice something and care for those who no one else would care for. And to cross the road and care about someone where no one else would. It's a powerful image, isn't it? Crossing down the road and seeing a problem in front of them and crossing to the other side, pretending like it didn't happen. Or it could be, if we wanted to put a 21st century spin on it, it could be, well, I know that someone's doing it tough, but I'm going to let someone else send them an encouragement card. I'm going to let someone else give them a call. I'm going to let somebody else do that. Sometimes we go as far to say, well, it's their job after all. We know the story of the Good Samaritan. We've heard it this morning. A gentleman going down the road gets beaten and left for dead. When the problem was presented to a priest, he crossed the road and went on the opposite side. When the problem was presented to a Levite, a teacher of the law, he crossed, went to the other side. And then the most despised of all, right? The person that no one would ever, ever accuse of being involved, a Samaritan. You don't just mean an unclean person, you mean a Samaritan. A Samaritan came. The person that nobody, there were customs in Jerusalem and in Israel at the time where people would travel for much further than they would normally have to, much further than they would normally have to, so they didn't have to go through Samaria. It would be like going from here to Boona, which is an 8-kilometer trip, right? We're going to go via Warwick because I do not want to go over Templin Hill. Now, we're all sitting here laughing about that, but that's the picture of what some of these people would go to, because heaven forbid that we would go over the top of Templin Hill. Or they would go via Brisbane. And we all sit here thinking, well, that's crazy. That's the depth in which these people did not want to associate with Samaritans or go through Samaria or even go even close to Samaria in case they caught something like being unclean. And yet here is the person who showed the greatest amount of mercy to the injured man. I think we have an epidemic of apathy. I think that it's someone else will do it. Whatever. We'll just see what comes next. Now, I will appreciate the fact that in the last few months, we've all gone, okay, let's just brace ourselves, right? Because we've had, it seems to be change after change after change, and some of us are getting a bit fatigued about all the changes that are going on, and I get that. But in the midst of change, God is still calling us to care. In the midst of change, God is still calling us to look out for others and to make a difference. I said to a young person the other day, I actually totally believe that you're a world changer. And they went, oh, I've got some gifts and abilities, but I'm not a world changer. And I'm like, why not? I'm convinced that every child connected to our church can and will be a world changer. Absolutely. And they're like, I'm good at some stuff, but I'm not a world changer. And when we wrestled that out in conversation for a bit longer, he said, I just don't have that much influence. I can't change the entire world. It actually is too big a problem for me, so I'm going to give up. That's what they said. I'm just going to keep just being me, but I can't change the world because that's just too big a problem. Now, I wonder whether that's been our issue, right? That the problems out there just seem so large and so huge that we're not even going to start. We're not even going to start because we may not succeed. And because if you don't succeed, you're not good. And if you're not good, then you start putting labels and the snowball goes on, right? It's hard to care a lot about something that you can't do much about. It's really hard to care about something you can't do much about. There are some things that you persist about, though, don't you? How many parents are in the room? Plenty. Who thought about giving up on potty training? Never. I did. I was like, can't it be someone else's job? Can we just outsource this somehow? This is horrific. Right? But you persist. The eye on the prize is independence from parents and not having to be there when the worst thing in the world happens. And you're like, why can't this just be a wet nappy? Right? Potty training two-year-olds is not always easy. You're walking through the shopping center and bolting in another direction because all of a sudden they need the toilet. We've all done it. We've all seen parents do it. I smirk about it now. Only because Debbie was persistent. I was definitely ready to give up because I'm thoroughly impatient, as I shared with you earlier today. And I just like, why can't this be fixed already? And when it's not fixed instantly, you're like, oh, well, it's just too hard. I'm not going to do it. And I think sometimes we just want to fix things. We want things to be well. We want things to be not broken. The reality is we live in a broken world. We are broken people. We can't fix it. He can. So what we need to stop doing is stop trying to be the one who fixes and start bringing the people to the person who does the fixing, the creator of the universe. The same God who flung stars into space and the words of his mouth, light came into being, is the one that wants to shape us and remodel us into who he has created us to be on purpose for a purpose. Let us not think that we have to do all the fixing. What I ended up saying to that young person that day is that you may not change the entire world, but the people that you engage with on a daily basis, you have the opportunity to change their world by being salt and light in their situations. We don't understand sometimes what others are going through. We have no idea what it means for others to journey their journey. But what we can do is bring salt and light, those God flavors and God colors to that situation and allow that to permeate and to take hold over time. I think one of the other challenges that we have is that we're blessed by living in a world of comfort, right? Maybe not in Fassifern because it's an hour from Brisbane. But if you're in Brisbane or in metropolitan cities anywhere, You get this little app on your phone called Uber. And you can even get Uber Eats. How good? Wherever you are, some people may not know what Uber Eats is. Uber Eats is wherever you are at all. You can type into your phone that you want to order food and it gets brought to you. How good? No washing up, no anything. It's just glorious. I've ordered it. It's good. The reason that we don't have it here is because you don't have to pay a surcharge for salmonella. By the time it got to you, it would have food poisoning beyond belief. So we just don't order it in the valley. But it's like dialer pizza on steroids. It's just anything you can think of, it's amazing. But you just become, where do you get it from? I'll put you onto the app after church. Don't you worry about that. Anyone wants to have sponsorship of Uber Eats, I'll set you up. Don't you worry about that. But it's not just Uber Eats, right? It's Uber. There's this thing called Uber. We don't have it out here either, which is good. But anywhere you are, and I've done it on Albert Street in Brisbane, I'm like, I don't even know where I am, but I want to go home. So I press this button and this car turns up and says, Wes, yes, here we go. And he took me exactly to where I wanted to go. It was glorious. At home, I want to watch a movie. Netflix. I want to watch sport, KO, whatever it might be. You name it. We don't have to do anything. It comes to us. There's no effort associated. So we're all of a sudden, we got buy-in. What does this story tell us this morning? Let's turn, for those who brought their scriptures, and want to have a look at it. It might come up on the screen. I don't want to give the guys that are in that space that are doing an amazing job, I don't want to give them any heart attacks, but it may come up on the screen. Verse 34. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next, he took out 2 denarii. Cost him something, right? It cost him something. Not just a little thing. That's like 2 weeks' wages. Now, for all of us in the room, we work out how much 2 weeks' wages is. Who's prepared to just go, you know what, I don't know how much it's going to cost to look after this guy, but I'll just write you a check for 2 weeks' wages. And everyone's going, whoa, back up, back up. I'm happy to care, but it's going to cost me what? No, I'm not. I'm all of a sudden becoming less and less interested. You see, sometimes when we're asked to care and asked to spend time with others and asked to send a text, it costs us the most valuable commodity that we have the least amount of, our time. It costs us the most. And so because it costs us the most, we are so reluctant to spend the time doing that. But for those of us that have been recipients of cards, surprise text messages, I mentioned last week in worship that, you know, I got a text message on a particular day, and I can still tell you to this day where I was standing when I received it. 5 letters. Five letters and a question mark. You okay? I'm telling you. Changed the course of my day that somebody saw me. Now, if I was to ask that person how much effort did that cost them to write that? Maybe 10 seconds? Maybe 20? Right? And yet, it changed the course of my day because of the scenarios that I was, and the the things that I was working through on that particular day, that somebody took the time to see me. What are we not prepared to spend to care for others and bring others to Jesus? Now, we'll all sit here and go, oh, everything. I'll pay whatever it costs. But the reality is, when it comes to paying the bill, we're like, oh, no. Who's ever been to the supermarket? No, not the supermarket. Department store, and we're like, I really like that. I've never said this, by the way, but really like that dress, or really like that, or really like that technological piece of machinery from the best shop in the entire planet, JB Hi-Fi. Like, I will not walk past a JB Hi-Fi. And then you go, oh, I really want that. And then you see the price and go, oh, look, actually, no, I don't. No, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. And I've been with Debbie where she's gone, oh, I really like that dress. Not for that price, I don't. And it just all of a sudden stops it in its tracks. How often do we do that with our journey with Jesus and sharing that journey with others? Yeah, I really want to help others. Not for that price, I don't. I'm happy to do it as long as it doesn't cost me that. No way. And here's this guy, this not just any old guy, but a guy from Samaria who said, I'll do whatever it costs to make sure this person feels care and mercy. Throughout this entire time, the thing that has affected us the most is that the lack of connection through the distancing that we've had to keep, whether it be no one coming to church or whether it be having to stay home. Remember those weeks where we just weren't allowed to go anywhere if it wasn't work, shopping, chemist? Remember those weeks? Who'll forget it? It was pretty bad, right? And it was it was uncomfortable. And we were all wanting for it to change. If we want to overcome apathy and we want to overcome, oh, let's just leave it to someone else. Let's just leave it to someone else. If we want to overcome it, then we need to make sure that we're doing all that we can to say, yeah, I know someone else can do it. Yep, the Levite could have done it. Yeah, the priest could have done it. They both had capacity. Yep, I could do it, but someone else will do it. Who's ever been in the school ground where they've got the lecture from the principal in the schoolyard saying, if you go past the piece of paper and everyone else does the same, all of a sudden we have a dirty school. Well, if you're always relying on someone else to care, then all of a sudden people feel disconnected and not cared for. At Fast Salvos, we always are talking about being needed, no one noticed. I would be heartbroken for someone to say, I interacted with the Fast Salvos and actually I felt more disconnect before than I did before. That would be horrible. Let's do whatever we can to say, no matter what the cost, I'm going to make sure people feel seen, people are seen, and they feel needed, known and noticed. That we see you. We're grateful that you're a part of our church family. If for those online this morning say, you know what? Nobody sees me. Then I want you to reach out this morning in a private message send me a private message on social media or an email, that's fine. I'll do what I can to connect with you this week in whatever forum that is. Zoom, Teams. I actually know how to use Zoom now, which is pretty good. It wasn't even part of my vocab before this whole thing, but I know how to drive it now. And we haven't crashed and burned many times. Some. But let's spend our time doing all that we can to cross the road for something, right? Whenever I go to Sydney, I have a favorite coffee shop. I position my entire trip around making sure I can get there. Because I value that. I just like the atmosphere. I like going there to memory and all that sort of stuff. If something's important to us, let's position it, right? Let's position it. In the song that Neil shared with us earlier today, and it may not have been part of our online space, it said, "My orphan heart was given a name." Most people know my story and know that at the beginning of my life, I started out in children's services, in the care of children's services as a ward of the state. I was adopted by my mum and dad, but there's something that hits deep within me when I read those words, "An orphan heart is given a name." We're going to sing a song in a minute that says, "I have a maker who calls me his own. Even before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name." When we have an opportunity for somebody to call us by name, it gives us that intimacy, doesn't it? We don't just get to call. Jesus calls us by name. God calls us by name. And we get to call him Abba, Father. It's just not just Yahweh or Elohim, but it is Daddy. That's the intimate relationship that we get to have with our Heavenly Father. The same one that I referred to earlier in the message that flung stars into space. You and I get to call him Daddy. Earlier in when my kids were younger, both of them had a turn of trying to call me Wes instead of Dad. It sounded funny. It looked a bit weird. It lasted a couple of days. But I heard from someone once where they used this term and they said, "You know what? I'll let anyone in the world call me Wes. There's only two people in this entire planet that I let call me Dad. They've never called me Wes again. They call me Daddy. They tease me. They do all those other things that teenagers do. Logan, you're not there yet. You're still little-ish. But there's something intimate about being called by your name, right? And we get to... It's not the same for us with God. We all can call him Dad because he sent his son to die for us and set us free. He calls you by name. Are you going to respond this morning? Maybe there's been something that you've been holding on to that you think to yourself, "You know what? I'm not going to let anyone else do it anymore. I'm going to step out. I want to step out. I want to do whatever it takes to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and be part of God's ministry of healing to this world." Let's sing together.